You're listening to the Savvy Painter Podcast, episode number 273. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Savvy Painter Podcast. This is probably late, this episode number 273. And that is because you can probably hear in my voice, I've been sick all week, but my amazing crew, Alkanus and Josh, are helping me get this out anyway. So it might be Friday when you hear this, but you're hearing it. And that is thanks to, in large part, to Josh and Alkanus. Thank you so much, you guys, for rallying, even though I am very, very late with this. My voice is going to be very scratchy. Hopefully I won't clear my throat too much, or Alkanus can take all that out. So today, super excited to talk to you about this topic. I gave a little bit of a talk on this on Monday in Mindset Monday, and I want to talk a little bit more today about how our feelings, our beliefs impact what we do in the studio. And I'm going to give you a different take on it today. So I always like to give you different ways of looking at that, different ways of thinking about it, because it resonates different ways for different people. So much variety, so much differences. So we've talked before about how our feelings power actions. Our feelings have precedence over logic, over practicality, over discipline, over great ideas, over knowing what to do. Our feelings have, when I say that our feelings have precedence over logic, when you really think about that, kind of the theme today for today is oftentimes artists logically know what they should do. They logically see that they're doing something that isn't helping them, but they cannot for the life of them understand why, because it's so obvious. They can see it. It's right there in front of them. Usually what they're seeing is the action that they're taking, like the procrastination, or why do I keep messing up my paintings? Like, I was doing so well and then I just messed it all up, right? Our underlying belief system is what creates our feelings about our art. Our capacity to create it, its value, and our own value as the creator of the art. So our belief system, what we believe, what we think, causes our feelings, and our feelings is what powers what we do in the studio. And that is sort of why we do things that logically we know, like, why am I doing that? So we've talked about these belief systems before. In essence, our beliefs are just thoughts that we've thought over and over again so many times that we really don't recognize that they're ours anymore. We just accept them as fact. And these beliefs are the foundation of what it is that we'll create. That's why I talk so much about uncovering these underlying beliefs. It's critical to creating your success in the studio. We all have a set of beliefs. Some of them we have actively created. We thought them out and we decided to believe them. We kind of tested the waters and we're like, yeah, I think that's true for me. Others were handed down from an authority figure, like our parents, teachers, artists we admire, blogs, books, podcasts, videos, films, things of that nature, where we maybe went to look for answers or inspiration on how we should do things, like what's the right way to show your work? What's the right way to sell your work? And we also inherit beliefs from our culture, from religion, and from the society that we live in. So a lot of our beliefs are formed so much on kind of like the circumstances of our life. Like, I want to kind of say luck, but it's just kind of like what we've been exposed to. So for example, you've probably heard examples of this on the podcast. Some artists grew up in a creative household where creativity and pursuing the arts was something that was valued. Pursuing the arts was something that was encouraged. Like, in that household, it was actively encouraged to be creative, be an artist, do all those things. And then you have other artists where maybe they weren't brought up in a household of creatives, like of artists or musicians or dancers or writers, any flavor of that. But they grew up in a household that valued creativity as something that is good to have, something that's valuable and is worth pursuing. Or maybe the household was just completely neutral. The parents were kind of like, yeah, either way, I just want you to be happy, whatever you want to do. If you want to be creative, great. If you don't, fine. You do you. And then there might be other households where it was just like, yeah, that's play. It's a waste of time. We don't do that in this family. If you're an artist, you're going to grow up poor. You're always going to be struggling. It's not a real job. They had all these negative opinions about it, or maybe they just seemed really concerned and worried about the idea that you wanted to be an artist or that you were leaning in that direction. And they super encouraged you to have a fallback plan, like another degree or another skill set that you could make a living off of. All of these together create our underlying belief system and the beliefs that we have, whether they are purposely created or we've accidentally adopted them, or they're just kind of like stuck, like an offhanded comment from somebody that hit you in a moment and you had an emotional response to it. So it's cemented for you, right? So sometimes it's not even somebody that was a big part of your life. It was just this offhanded comment, but it hit a nerve and it stuck. All these beliefs are the foundations of what we will create as artists, because all those beliefs cause us to have feelings about where we are within our art, about how we create it. And then that drives what we do in the studio. They shape what our experience of being an artist will be like. So uncovering these underlying beliefs is critical to creating your success in your studio. Sometimes I hear from artists who listen to the podcast, or maybe they're in growth studio, and they say things like, yeah, I get that, but I really don't have that problem. I'm pretty confident in who I am. I don't have that problem that other artists have. I don't have like that artist angst thing. That just doesn't apply to me. And then they'll list all of their accomplishments, maybe the schools they went to or the artists they've studied with, the places they've shown, and or the number of paintings they've sold and how much they've sold them for, right? And if you ask them, like I might ask them, so are you happy with where you're at? Are you satisfied with the success that you have right now in your studio? And they'll say things like, I mean, yeah, but it would be nice if I sold more paintings. It would be nice if I could quit my job and just go full time with this. Or lots of times they'll say something like, I have this other income, so I don't need to make money for my art, but I really do want to feel like I'm accomplished with it. I want to feel like I'm credible, I'm validated, that my work is good and it's worth something. And then I ask them why they haven't done that already. And I get lots and lots of reasons why not. And sometimes I get, I don't know, it just hasn't happened yet. Or they might say, I just have not been able to make it happen. I get some progress and then things seem to stall out. I don't really understand why, or I just don't get over that hurdle, or I don't get over that next horizon line or something along those lines. It's like they're happy with, they're like, yeah, I'm taking these courses, I'm doing well, I'm learning things, but then I just can't like get it over that next level, that next hurdle. They say, I'm here and I like who I am, but I can't seem to get any further than where I'm at right now, or it's just going really, really slow. It's going way too slow. And that's where, if you're willing to do the work and you're willing to dig into it and you're willing to feel uncomfortable feelings, that's where you will discover a lot of the limiting beliefs. So you've probably heard me talk about this a lot in the podcast. And if you're in Growth Studio, you've heard this. The beliefs that we have are simply just those thoughts that we think over and over and over again until they feel like they're facts. So they become invisible to us, whether it's our own thoughts or it's somebody else's thoughts. And some of those thoughts we really want to keep. I kind of think that most of the thoughts, most of our beliefs that we have in our belief system are serving us in some way. I think that we always have the beliefs that we have for a very good reason, and that in some way, shape, or form, if we've kept them, it's because there's some way that they are helping us. But they also might be harming us in a bigger way, and those are the ones that we really need to take a look at. The trick now is to look at that and say, okay, I'm here with my arts. and I want to take it all the way over to this other place, right? So if you drew a line on a piece of paper, I'm all the way over here on the left-hand side, and I want to take my art all the way over here to the right-hand side, and I just can't seem to get there. That's the point where you ask the really tough questions. Why aren't you there? What is stopping you from getting there? Like, really, why aren't you there? If you think back to the podcast episode that I did on taking your power back by taking responsibility for your art, and that's episode number 266, and I'll link to it in the show notes for this episode. If you haven't had a chance to hear it yet, you'll find a lot of information there on how to really dig into that. But you want to really look at not what are the outside circumstances, but what are the things that are in my control that I can do to impact where I am with my art? That I can, like, how can I respond so that my experience of creating it, or why I'm creating it, or what I'm creating with it, can be more in line with what I want it to be? So the limiting beliefs are anything that, even if they did serve you in the past, right now, they're holding you back. And they usually seem really innocuous. And most often, they feel very, very true. So that's why it can be so hard to uncover them. That's why oftentimes you need a coach to help you, like, find those blind spots. Because you think this is just a fact. You might be pretty convinced that that's just the way things are. That's just the way the world is. It is hard to be an artist. That's just the way it is. It's really hard to make a living as an artist. All of these thoughts that we've been given, and I'm sure you could give me an endless list of all the reasons why you believe that's true. But we could also probably come up with a lot of reasons, and I know, hang on. We could also come up with a lot of reasons how that's not true, how being an artist is actually easy. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling like all the heads going, what? Did I just say that? Did I just hear that right? Oh my God. Okay, so what if making a living as an artist is actually easy, right? I can hear all the screams coming out of the studios from all the people listening right now. No, right? You want to fight with that one. I think a lot of artists are just like, that is not true. Whenever I suggest that, I can feel the tension and the discomfort coming through the internet. Like, there's been a disturbance in the force. And I know that if I polled all of you right now, it would not be difficult to find thousands of artists who will say, nope, Antrese, that is absolutely not true. Here's my list of reasons. Being an artist is hard. Making a living as an artist is hard. And if we multiplied that list by the number of people who listen to this podcast, we could line up all those pages and have enough probably to go to the moon and back several times over. I know you have lots and lots of reasons for believing this. But let's just play with this idea for a minute. What if the reason we artists are so good at finding all the evidence to support the idea that it's hard to be an artist, that it's hard to make a living as an artist, the reason it's so easy to find all of that evidence is because we have so much practice with that thought. We've held on to it. All the other artists we know would most likely agree with that. Our parents, our teachers, society, movies, they all click their tongues and say, yeah, it's just so hard to be an artist. That's why you should have a backup plan. But when we hang on to that thought, we just find more and more and more evidence for it. Many artists believe so strongly that that's true that they will get really angry and defensive about it. They'll fight me on it, or they'll shut down. They'll hit the unsubscribe button. They'll turn off the podcast. Maybe a whole bunch of people turned it off already when I just said that. But here's what I want to offer you. And this comes from the great wise one, as we called her, my grandmother, Nana. If you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. And if you want to hang on to that idea, you absolutely can. But the question is, Does it serve you? Is it helping you? Does it help you create more, show more, sell more art? If you're open to a philosophical experiment, I encourage you to play with this idea. What if it's easy to be an artist? What if it's easy to make a living as an artist? Make a list. Write out all the ways that that could be true, that that is true. What do you know about it? It'll be really, really hard at first. Your brain is going to resist. It's going to fight you. It's going to tell you that I'm crazy. Your brain fights you so hard on it because it's so used to hearing the opposite. And it is an expert at finding the reasons why it's hard. You've probably been practicing making that list of why it's so hard your entire life, and you've got all the reasons from everybody else who's ever told you that it's hard and that you shouldn't do it. That's why you can do it so effortlessly. That's why it feels so true. People will say, no, it can't possibly be easy, but there are a lot of artists who do it. So the idea isn't to put yourself into a place where you feel like you have to defend all of your beliefs. It's more like just like a check-in. Like, really, is this really true? Could it be partially true? Is there any room for movement on that? Or am I creating that because I believe so hard on it? Like, am I making it hard because I think it should be? And if I shifted that belief, even just a little bit, how would that change my experience with my art? I know this is artist blasphemy, but what if you just decided that making art can be easy, that making a living as an artist can be easy, that that's a possibility that's open to you? How would that change your experience? Your brain might immediately get defensive. I'm guessing for a lot of you, it will, that it can't be easy. If it were, then anyone could do it. If it were easy, then why did I spend so much time struggling to learn it? Why did I spend so much time honing my craft, right? Notice what your brain offers you in defense of this idea that being an artist is hard, that you must struggle, that like all these beliefs that we have about being an artist, those are really important clues for you. If you're really annoyed or pissed off even that I would say that being an artist could be easy, and then you come up with a list of why it cannot be true for you, that you're different, that it's harder for you because of X, Y, Z, and then you have that list, I'm telling you, that list is a gold mine, because on the other side of that list is whatever you want to create as an artist. One of the things that I've been super, super interested in lately, and this is something that I will be talking a lot more about over the coming weeks inside of Growth Studio, it's something that I'm working on myself, and I'm seeing it over and over again inside of Growth Studio. Each of us has a set of internal limits. We have a range that we think is acceptable for us as artists. We have this internal idea of how well we could, how well we should, or how fair it is for us to succeed with our art. So those are just three possibilities, three options for how this might come up. I think there's a lot more, but we're just going to stick with those. We're just going to play with those three right now, right? How well I could do, how well I should do, what is fair for me to do. We have an internal idea of where we should be or where we think we can get. That's the how well I could do, or what we think is fair for us. Our internal beliefs create sort of like a window of possibility. There's a range in there. Think of it like a temperature. I'm most comfortable between 68 and 73 degrees Fahrenheit, for example. And our belief system acts kind of like a thermostat. If we go too far out of what we believe is our acceptable range, then our belief system kicks in and we regulate. We go back to that place where we think we belong. So if we rise above our internal, let's just call it our internal success temperature, we'll eventually bring ourselves right back down. That's why we self-sabotage. That's when we do those things that we're like, oh my God, why do I keep doing it? It makes no logical sense, but I keep doing it. It does make sense. You always make sense. That's our internal thermostat that's causing us to do that. And on the flip side, If you drop below your success temperature, you'll suddenly get really productive. You'll start to see things in your work. You'll have like aha moments and you'll just be like cranking it out. You'll bring yourself back up into the range that you are comfortable at, into the range of this is how well I could do. This is how well I should do. This is what's fair for me to do. You'll bring yourself into that range that your underlying belief system supports. So here are a couple of examples. I gave a little introduction to this last week in the Savvy Painter community. And then later on that day, we had our weekly critique session in Grow Studio. And there was the perfect example of this. Okay. So one of the artists, Lisa, brought several paintings that she'd been working on. She painted the same subject a number of times. And two things about our conversation I want to share with you that's relevant to this. She felt like the paintings were all so different and they seemed random, and she really wants her work to feel more cohesive. So we looked at all the paintings together in chronological order, and as I do, I asked her a million questions about them. Turns out, she actually had very specific reasons for doing what she did. From one painting to the next, as we discovered, there was a crystal clear path. There was nothing random at all in her approach, what she was looking for, what she was trying to discover, and what she found. There was a very clear thread running through all of the paintings. She just didn't see it because her thought about these paintings, or her thought about her paintings, was they're all over the place. It's disconnected. So her brain found all of the ways that they were disconnected. Interestingly, we kept coming back to the very first painting that she did. And as she talked about it, she would say, I really like this one, but I don't know. And then she'd kind of squint her eyes and say, not sure. And then we'd talk about another one. And then as we're talking about the other one, she'd reference back something from that first painting, the one she really liked, right? And it turns out she really loved that first painting. She accomplished what she set out to do. The colors played off of each other exactly the way she imagined, you know, like as she imagined them. The brush strokes were loose, yet they were accurate. It was a really good painting. So what was the problem? Why was she kind of giving it that side eye? Why was she saying like, yeah, I like it, but she loved it, but she wanted to get other people's opinions about it. Why? Why was she not trusting what she thinks about her own painting? What we uncovered was this. That painting was too easy. It was fast, it was accurate, and she did what she wanted to do, but there was no struggle in it. And art is supposed to be hard. So she was making it hard. We all do this. I have talked to countless artists who say things like, it was going so well, and then I ruined it. I don't understand why I couldn't just leave it alone. I don't know why either. I would have to ask you a ton of questions, just like I did with Lisa. But it's very possible that your internal thermostat kicked in. You were outside of what you believe your experience should be. Maybe it was too easy and you think it should be hard. Maybe it came together too fast and you think you're a slow painter. Or maybe it was too fast and you're not comfortable with the prices that you charge for your work, so you made the work harder to fit what you think is fair, what you think like that labor that you, and I'm doing air quotes, should put in to charge what you charge for your work. Or maybe you just had too much fun with it and your inner belief is that creating art is very serious and it's filled with struggle. That's how our internal thermometer kicks in. That's how like these very subtle or maybe not so subtle beliefs we have about our art or what the experience of an artist is supposed to be or deserves to be or is fair to be or is in line with what your instructors told you it should be. Or maybe you're rebelling against an idea from somebody you don't like that told you something early on and you're just like, nope, it cannot be that. Like your internal thermostat is like, no, our brains are powerful. Our thoughts about our work matter. They matter a lot. If you think you shouldn't be able to make more than a certain amount of money with your art, your thermostat will make sure that you will stay where you are quote unquote comfortable. If you think your prices are in any way not fair or too much, you will always find ways to level that out. God forbid you finish a painting in 45 minutes and sell it for $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000. How many of you are squirming at that idea or wondering, well, how big is the painting, right? What happens on your canvas and what happens in your studio is a direct reflection of what is happening in your mind. That is one of my key philosophies and why I offer weekly mindset coaching in Grow Studio. So if you are ready to raise your thermostat, join us. I ask a lot of questions, but we have a lot of fun. That's what I have for you today. Talk soon, everybody. Happy painting.
When you are aware of how powerful your mind is, you show up to your studio differently. You notice the abundant opportunities to level up your presence in the studio. And when you do that, you stop worrying about whether or not you have a voice because you know it was already there. Now your best work comes more easily. Join Growth Studio now. I show you your blind spots and help you create confidently. Just go to savvypainter.com/join.